If you open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, Mark's Gospel chapter 1, it's been good to spend even this short time that I've been able to here in Alabama. I haven't been to Alabama but once, but growing up kind of had a mixed feelings about Alabama because my brother was a Florida Gators fan, and so he bowed at the altar of the SEC, and included in that was Alabama, and so I didn't like your state very much for a long time, but I like y'all. I still don't like Alabama, though, but it's good to fellowship with the Lord's people wherever we find ourselves. So Mark's Gospel and chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse 40 near the end of the chapter. This is the word of the Lord. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, and so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Amen. This is the beautiful word of the Lord to his people. Let's just ask the Lord to help us in hearing of the word and the preaching just briefly now. Our gracious God, our Father, our teacher, we come unto thee desiring to be taught by thee, to be instructed. Lord, we desire to hear thy voice, to hear thee speaking to the minister and to everyone in the pew, from young to old, that the voice of God would be heard in every ear. This is our earnest prayer unto thee. But Lord, let not thy word, Lord, go forth and return unto thee void. This is our prayer, and we give thee thanks. It is your joy to fulfill this prayer. So do it now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The timing of this miracle that we have just read is unknown. Matthew's gospel places it just after the Sermon on the Mount, but the other gospels don't agree on that exactly. But the timing of the miracle isn't the important part, because each of the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, take this story of this miracle, and they are using it for their own purposes in their own books to show us something about Christ. And for Mark's gospel, throughout the beginning of it, he has several miracles recorded and healings as Jesus is starting his earthly ministry and doing the Father's work. But as Jesus begins this work, he is not just saving his people from their sins like it's his job, or it's just something, some work that he has to do. This story is showing us the great love, the compassion of Jesus as he came to save his people from their sins. Not just a job, not just some task to him, but it was out of love for his people. And you can search all through every writing, everything in secular history that is known to man, and you will not find a story with such compassion that expresses so much love that this story does. You can search in vain all your life. This story shines as a light at the beginning of Mark's gospel, causing us to see the love of Christ for his people. And that's absolutely critical for us to see this evening and every day of our lives. Because as sinners, sometimes it is hard to believe that. It's hard to believe that the Lord loves us particularly. When we are going through trials and suffering through great afflictions, our hearts are tempted to think, does he love me because I feel so miserable? But I think often we fail and we fall into sin. And in that sin, we look in the mirror and we wonder to ourselves, how is it that Christ could love someone as ugly as the one that I see? Especially as Christians, as he has given us so many good things, a rich church, good families, a good church family. But yet I sin against him over and over and over again, year after year. You end up like a kid who was told not to go play in the mud puddle, but he's there again, and the Lord has to come and get him out again. And we look at these hands stained with filth from sin and wonder, how is it that the Lord would love hands like these, a sinner like me? Well, this story, it tells us what the Lord has to say to us when we doubt his love to him. It is undeniable proof of his love. And that is what is shining before us this evening. And so it's from this miracle, this passage, that I would like to preach to you this evening on the love of Christ in the healing of a leper. The love of Christ in the healing of a leper. We first have to come and look at this leper's condition. And the first thing that we see about his condition is his disease. I said this account was found in the other Gospels, and in Luke's Gospel, Luke is a man of detail, a physician, and he gives this extra detail about this man. He says that he was a man full of leprosy. Now, this man wasn't examined, but you could tell just from looking at him that he was covered from head to toe, surely, in leprosy. There was not a spot of him that was uncovered. This means that he was in the later stages of leprosy, which means that he had had this disease for years, for a very, very long time. It had eaten away at his body. Leprosy has many symptoms. It has the loss of feelings, the numbing of nerves in the hands and the feet and the extremities until you can't feel them anymore. And in that way, it's much like sin. Sin numbs us to things. Sin numbs men to where they can't see God. They know the more they sin, the less and less it seems they know them as they go on in it. And they lose even the feeling of what is truly good. That's why men are able to commit such evils in this world, because they are numb through sin. It comes with leprosy, red blotches on the skin, boils of all different sizes that mark their bodies. And it marks them for life. You think of sinners who exhibit this in the addict, who cannot stop his addiction and destroys his body. And you know when you see him that he is addicted. Comes with red eyes that become glazed over, and they weaken with the disease until, at the latest stages, blindness occurs. And eventually, because the limbs are numb, cuts and other things happen, diseases happen to the limbs, and infection takes place. And eventually, body parts are lost. And sin, leprosy, destroys the body. And this is a contagious disease, so that all men seek to stay away from those who are corrupted by it. And the Jews, how did they view leprosy? They viewed it as you were unclean ceremonially if you were a leper. The doors of the church are closed. You will never go into a temple again as long as you have leprosy. The sacrifices, the temple, everything that pictured Christ, the presence of God, all of that is closed and shut to the leper. From society, they are outcasts. They live in leper colonies, away from their family or friends. The only people they know from day to day are other lepers who are in the same condition as them. And the Jews, much like much of the world and society, they saw lepers as being guilty of great sin. You remember even the Lord's disciples who had been under his teaching. They said of a blind man, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? They looked at this man's situation, at what he was suffering, and thought sin must be the cause of this, as Job's friend treated him the same way. But leprosy was worse. Leprosy was seen as being the result of sin. And that's why these men were seen to suffer. They were shamed by society. They would go about with bells that would chime as they would go. And then whenever they would come near someone, they would have to shout out, unclean, unclean. And they would have to keep this infectious, rotting, destroying disease away from others. That is leprosy. That is this man's disease. But you see also his approach. What was his approach to Christ like? Well, he came worshiping Christ. He fell down before him. And Matthew tells us something else here, just like Luke did. Matthew says that he called Jesus Lord. Now, in the Gospels, in your New Testament, sometimes when it says Lord, that can just be a term of respect. Like a servant would call their master Lord. But it is also used of deity. And I believe here that that is how this leper is speaking to Jesus, because Matthew also says that he fell down and worshiped him. He's not just calling him Lord, he's worshiping him at the same time. So he's calling him God. You see, we look at this and we see the humility of it. But see it through everyone else's eyes that was there for a moment. Yes, this leper humbly fell down before the Lord. But other men that would look on at this would find it disturbing. This man's body is deformed. His smell that would come from him would be repulsive, that you would want to step away and get away from him. His voice is not even like the voice of a healthy man. It is broken with his disease. There is nothing desirable about the praise of this leper. There is nothing in it that we would call beautiful. It is marked with sin, though it was humble. But you see also this man's faith. He said to the Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He believed in the power of Christ. He believed that he was God, and he had heard that he had saved other men, but he wasn't sure if Christ was willing to cleanse him. I'm not sure who this quote was from that I found, but it says that men more easily believe in miraculous power than in miraculous love. That was true of this leper. He knew that Jesus had the power, but would he save him from this disease? Would he cleanse this man that the world called or saw as the worst of sinners? And for all of his life, you know, that is how he viewed others, and he saw Christ the way that others had treated him. Others perhaps had ability or something that they could do to help him, to bring food or some relief of something. But I'm sure much of what this man found was an unwillingness and an inability from others to give him any help. But you see in that this man had faith, yes, but much like his own body, it was marred with flaws. You think of the faith of others that had come to Christ, like the centurion who desired that the Lord would heal his servant. And he told him, don't even come to my house. I know that you can just command it now and it will be done. And the Lord commended that faith because he believed that Christ had the power and that Christ was willing. That is not the faith of this leper. This leper, he's struggling to believe if this will do any good. Because all his life, the world had turned him away. And he thought perhaps Christ will do the same. That is the leper. That is the leper that is kneeling at the feet of Christ, that is worshiping him and calling him Lord. But now we come in this miracle. We look at the healer's person. See how unlike the leper Christ is. You look at his perfection. In holiness, holiness being sometimes described as being spotless. Christ was spotlessly holy. There is no mark of sin on him. There is no blemish. There is no boil. There is no numbness. He is perfectly holy in every way. He is so unlike this leper. Christ's faith, unlike this leper's, is absolutely perfect. Christ always continually believed. He believed in what God told him. He believed in the call that God had given the Son, and he followed it willingly and joyfully in perfect faith, unlike this leper. And Christ in his praise, in his worship, when Christ approached God, you think of when he came to pray, his disciples were so impressed with the way that he prayed, with his worship to God, that they asked him, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray in this way, because his praise was flawless. He is nothing like this leper. But this is the man, this is the God that this leper needs. No one else will do. But secondly, you see here, you look at his position. This leper has now come before the rightful king of Israel, who deserved the inheritance of this entire land. Now that gives you a picture there of a king. Like a king sitting on a throne in this glorious, beautiful, spotless palace in all of its glory. And here is a leper in the throne room. And you just, when you see that picture in your mind, you could just see that it doesn't belong there. This leper doesn't belong in the throne room of the king. If the king asked him to step out, speak to him through someone else, or cry out from outside of my glorious presence, we would not be appalled at a king behaving in that manner to someone as vile as this leper, who does not belong in the presence of a king. Now, he's also the Son of God. He made heaven and earth. It was made for him. And when it was made, it was spotless. Perfect. There was no mark of disease and leprosy and decay and death as this man represents. He is a blot on the Son of God's creation, upon the king's kingdom. And this is the king with power and authority who, whatever displeases him, he is right and just to cast it from his presence into eternal judgment. And here falls a man before him, covered in leprosy from head to toe, the symbol of sin, is kneeling before the one who made all things good and all things pure. That's the position of Christ. You see, finally, under this, you see his reputation, that is Christ's reputation. The leper knew that he had healed others, those that were demon-possessed and afflicted with all manner of diseases. Well, the one thing that these gospel accounts all have in common is that this miracle was performed early on in Christ's ministry. And there is no record of a healing of a leper before this man. Yes, he healed others, but will he heal the worst? He has a reputation for doing good, but will he help the worst? And you apply that to yourself. Let's ask that question of ourselves. Will Christ be compassionate to us? Will he show mercy to us? Because in our own eyes, we can see ourselves as this leper when we fall into sin, because we know our sins more than others, more than the loved ones around us. We know how wicked and vile that we are. You know, that was one of the great torments of John Bunyan. It took him a very long time to come out from under the guilt of sin that weighed him down, because he saw himself as the chief of sinners. Christ has a reputation for saving sinners. But will he save the worst? Well, that is what we come to look at next, as we see the miracle performed. You see, the first thing about this miracle is its compassion. We read, "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him." Mark is the one that uses that word instead of the other gospel writers, compassion, to describe what moved the heart of Jesus to save this man. This man that the world could not love because he was so unlovable. He experienced divine love for him that day. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6 and verse 5, we read about the shepherd's love for the Shunammite. And the Song of Solomon is a picture of Christ's love for the church. And so we can take these words as this is Christ speaking to his people, to his church. And we read there, "Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me." And those of us who have been in a relationship, you know what that means, to look into the eyes of the ones you love and to be overcome with love for them and compassion. Well, here we see the faded, the red, sickly eyes of this leper looking unto Jesus. And Christ's response to him was that these eyes have overcome me. And Christ loved this man, this leper. Even though there's not an inch of good or anything in these lepers' eyes or in his body to draw the Lord to love him. You won't find anything. He's full of leprosy. Yet Christ, because it pleased him, loved this man. And he stretched out his hand and he touched him. You notice there what he didn't do? He didn't just say, "I will be thou clean." Recognize the order of these events. He reached out his hand and he touched this man that no one that was not a leper had touched for years. He touched this man. And then he said, "I will be thou clean." He didn't wipe away a spot that his hand could touch because he couldn't bear to touch this man. As the Son of God, he didn't look down time and shade his eyes from who this man was and focus on who will be. He'll be righteous someday. I will bear to touch him now. He looked at that man and he laid his hands on this filthy, disgusting leper. because he had compassion for him. And we will never know why. We will never know why the Son of God chose to love this man, but he did. The eyes of the wretched, overcoming the heart of the divine. We do not know why, yet it is glorious to behold. But you see also from this miracle, its effect. It says, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. This disease that no man could cure was cured by Jesus. The love that Christ had for this man could not leave him in the state that it found him in. So from the day that the love of God laid hold of this man, he was a changed man. And I'll just mention briefly here. If there is someone here, and you know you're a leper, you have never felt the compassion, the love of Christ lay his hands on you and save your soul. If you know yourself to be a leper, that is the best place to find yourself this evening. Because we read Mark's Gospel 2 and chapter 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I've come to save, to heal the lepers and the worst, and to change their lives forever. But that is the effect that Christ's compassion has to us, that we are changed, and we have been changed. Now you look at that old leprous heart, that numb heart that did not know God, that did not know goodness. And Christ gave us a new heart so that now we do feel again. These hands that were numb, that do nothing of righteousness, we know what it is. We know what it is to love God. Whenever we did, we were shut out from the house of God, from the presence of God, just as the lepers were from the temple. But now the doors have swung wide open, and Christ says, come and enter in. You are cleansed. Enter in. Now we have a new family. We are brought into the family of the people of God, never to be cast out, never to be cast out from God's presence. And we will continue to be changed, you know, because we're not there yet. There's still some of this disease lingering in these bodies. But Christ will continue to change us, because that first compassion that laid hold of us will not leave us. You know, I mentioned promises this morning that we are to expect. Here's one for us. Sin shall not have dominion over you. And we're right to expect it. I must come to a close. Time is gone. In the day that Jesus healed this man from his leprosy, he demonstrated something that would later be written about God. In Romans 5 and verse 8, we read, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were still lepers, his hand was laid on us. That's proof. Because we have to come now and look in the mirror again. We have to look at these hands again. So often we find with sins, and to us it seems as if we can't be rid of them. And so we ask the question, does God love these hands? Does God love this sinner? I know a leper that's in heaven today that says, yes, yes, he does. This is proof to us. this story, this beautiful illustration. This is the compassion of Christ to us while we were in our sins. And now that we are saved, it will not fail us. It will never depart from us.